Genesis chapter 49, the first book of the Bible in chapter 49. It's amazing how many references to the Savior's birth you find in the book of Genesis. You could well do a series on it. Maybe we will sometime. And you could call it Christmas in Genesis. That would be a good title for it. But here's one of the references, or one of the prophecies of the birth of Christ in the book of Genesis. Genesis 49. We'll not read all the chapter, but we'll just read a few verses, beginning at verse 8. Genesis 49 and verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. That word whelp means cub. You know what a lion's cub is. It's just referring to a young lion. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. The word couch there means sat. You know what a couch is? A sofa. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You think about whenever the Savior was born, how people gathered to him. The wise men, the shepherds, they all made their way to the infant Christ and fulfilled what's written here in Genesis 49. Verse 11, binding his foal onto the vine, and his ass's colt onto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Amen. Folks, I want to speak about a lovely name that's given to the Lord Jesus there in verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. There are apparently 200 names given to the Lord Jesus throughout the Bible. I haven't counted them all. But apparently that's the case. And that really shouldn't surprise us tonight, because he's such an amazing person, such a wonderful person. And we can learn a lot about a person from their names. I have different names that people call me. Husband, that shows that I'm married. Dad, shows that I'm a father. Son, that's my parents. Call me, obviously. Pastor. One title that I don't like is Reverend, because I believe that there's only one person in the universe who deserves that title. That's the Lord, because the psalmist said, holy and reverend is his name. So names say a lot about a person. Well, what about this name tonight of the Lord Jesus? This name that dying Jacob gives to the Savior. Remember, this name, Shiloh, was spoken by a dying man, a man on his deathbed. And surely, folks, there's nothing more wonderful than to speak of Christ on your deathbed. To be thinking about him, to be resting on him, trusting in him when it comes to the end of your life. And so here's dying Jacob as he speaks to his sons who are gathered around his deathbed, and he speaks of the Savior, the coming Savior, the Messiah who would come. There are different meanings for the name Shiloh. The first one is sent. Shiloh means sent. And folks, does that not remind us that the Lord Jesus was sent into the world that first Christmas time? You think about the name Shiloh for a moment. It's quite similar to the name Siloam. Siloam. You remember the Lord Jesus told the blind man in John chapter 9 to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. We don't have to wonder what Siloam means. The Bible actually gives us the translation, gives us the meaning. It means sent. And there are those who say that this title in Genesis 49, this word Shiloh, it means sent. Now, whether it means sent or not doesn't change the fact that the Lord Jesus was definitely sent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You go to John chapter 3, verse 17. And as I often say, Thursday nights are Bible study nights. So you're going to have to do some flicking back and forward through your Bible tonight again, as we do on other nights. John 3, verse 17. When it comes to Sunday, you don't really have to do too much turning back and forward through your Bible. But on a Thursday night, I believe it's important that we do go through the pages and turn and look at the verses. John 3, 17. Everybody knows verse 16, obviously. But people perhaps aren't so familiar with verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's that word sent. And when we consider that word sent, we should think of the term that Jacob gives to the Savior. He's Shiloh. He's the one who has been sent. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Chapter 4, this is a verse that's often preached at Christmas time. Galatians 4 and verse 6. That should be verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So there again you have the word sent. God sent forth his Son. By the way, that's what Christmas means. I have heard a lot of people say, oh, don't celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a pagan holiday. You know, the word Christmas means Christ's Mass. And that's Papish and Roman Catholic, the Mass. Well, all I'll say is they don't know their terminology, because the word Christmas literally means Christ sent forth. The word Mass, M-A-S, comes from an old English word that means to be sent. One more reference, 1 John 4:10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is a big word, but it has a very simple meaning. Do you know what a fire extinguisher is? Of course you do. We'll have them in the church. There's one behind me. A fire extinguisher. The word propitiation means literally to put out the fire. And I think we referred to it on Sunday evening, how that Christ on the cross, he put out the fire of God's wrath that was directed against us. Thank God tonight our Lord Jesus Christ was sent forth that first Christmas time to be the propitiation, to put out the fire of God's righteous anger that was against you and against me. That ought to cause us to rejoice, because the fire has been put out forever. The fire of God's wrath can never burn against you and me again. So, as we think about Jacob's words to his sons in Genesis 49, and as we think about the beautiful title that he gives to Christ, Shiloh, we're reminded that the Savior was sent. The word Shiloh can also mean sun. Sun. Not the sun that shines in the sky, and we don't seem to have very much of it these days.
But of course, we should expect that. It's the middle of winter. Tomorrow is the shortest day of the year. So we can't really, I suppose, expect the sun to be splitting the trees. But we're not talking about that kind of sun. It's the sun as in S-O-N. Okay. Shiloh means sun. It was read last Sunday night, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The Lord Jesus is the Son. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. Just turn to that for a moment. Matthew 2, 15. And the wise men have been to the cradle, and they have left and are on their way home. But we read in Matthew 2, verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. There's Shiloh, my son. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Here's another reference where Jesus is called the Son. Luke 1, verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. Who's the highest? Well, obviously, that's God the Father. And Jesus is called the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of the Father. Of course, the Lord Jesus is called the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar called him that. That pagan heathen king in the book of Daniel, he called Jesus the Son of God. You remember when he looked into the burning fiery furnace. What did he say? Let me read it to you. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. If you read some of the modern versions, they will change it to, the form of the fourth is like to one of the gods. Or the form of the fourth is like to a son of the gods. But no, the good old authorized version gives us the true rendering. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. King Nebuchadnezzar realized that day that the Lord Jesus, now the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, he was in the furnace with his people. Are you in a furnace tonight, a furnace of affliction? The one thing you can be sure of is that the Son of God will be there in the furnace with you. He's with us tonight as we go through our furnace experiences in life. And if we're not in a furnace tonight, we will be sooner or later. You're either in the middle of a furnace, or you're about to go into a furnace, or you're coming out of a furnace. That's generally the way it is in the Christian life. But isn't it wonderful to know that no matter how hot the furnace is, the Son of God is there with us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the Son of God. Shiloh means son. But tonight, let me say, the Lord Jesus is also called the Son of Man. Isn't that another one of his lovely titles? That little babe that was born in Bethlehem, he grew up to be known as the Son of Man. Many, many times he's called by that title. Isn't it good to know that he is a man? That our Saviour is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The Lord Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem and led in a manger by Joseph and Mary, he wasn't some kind of spirit or phantom or half human. No, he was a real human, a real person, just like you and me. Obviously, the only difference is that he was without sin. We are polluted by sin. We are full of sin, but not him. No, he was sinless. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. But he is still a man. You remember what the Pharisees said of Jesus? This man receiveth sinners. Now, they meant it as an insult. They were having a jab at him. But you know, folks, they couldn't have given him a bigger compliment. Aren't you glad tonight that he does receive sinners? This man at God's right hand tonight, aren't you glad that he doesn't cast us out of his presence, but he welcomes us into his presence tonight? And it's all to do with grace and mercy. You see, if we got what we deserve tonight, the Lord would say to us, go away, don't dare come into my holy presence. Vile sinners like you, don't even think about it. That would be fair. We couldn't argue tonight if the Lord said that to us. But he doesn't say that to us. In fact, he does the opposite. He speaks words of grace and mercy and kindness, and he says, come before my throne of grace. Oh, thank God for this man, the Lord Jesus. He's a man who can show empathy. We talk about sympathy, don't we? But sympathy and empathy are different. Sympathy means that you are commiserating with someone, but you haven't went through what they're going through. But empathy, that's different. Empathy refers to a person who commiserates and sympathizes, but they have gone through what the other person is going through. Jesus not only can sympathize with us tonight, but he can empathize because he is a real person. He is a man, and that should fill our souls with joy this evening. Let me finish off tonight. There is a third meaning for the term Shiloh. This beautiful messianic title given to Christ. It can also mean peace. Not only does it mean sent and son, but also peace. The Lord Jesus is the peacemaker. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Peace with God by the blood of his cross. That's a fact. That's not a feeling. That's a fact of history. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. The only way we can have peace with God is through Calvary's bloody tree. That tree that was stained with blood, with sinless blood. And on that cross, Shiloh was dying for us. He's not only the peacemaker, but he's the peace giver. He gives us the peace that he purchased by his shed blood. And that's how we can say with Paul in Philippians 4 verse 7 that we can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Christ by his blood has made peace with God. Now we can have the peace of God flooding our souls. Now that is a feeling. Some people say, oh well, Christianity is nothing to do with feelings. I don't agree. It is to do with feelings. But how you have the feeling is that you're trusting in the finished work of Christ. When you trust in that fact of history, then the feeling comes from that. And our great Shiloh has given us peace. Whenever God the Father sent his son to Bethlehem's manger, he began a peace process. We have a corrupt peace process in our country. There's a corrupt peace process in South Africa also at the present time. You may not know, but currently in South Africa, white farmers are being murdered. I guarantee you haven't heard much about that on the news. Yes, you hear all this talk about racism, and wasn't that footballer, Raheem Sterling, Manchester City, and every news outlet was covering this story, this footballer who was called names by the Chelsea supporters. Let me say, rightly so, I agree that what the Chelsea supporters did was disgraceful. But have you heard any mention of these white farmers in South Africa being murdered in cold blood? I read the other day of a white farmer who was murdered in front of his wife just because he's white. A corrupt peace process. You may remember that word apartheid. Remember in the 1980s, everybody was talking about apartheid in South Africa. And everybody was up in arms about what was happening to the black people. And church leaders were tripping over themselves to criticise the white people in South Africa during the 80s for the apartheid regime. Isn't it strange that you don't hear too many church leaders today speaking out about the white farmers who are being murdered in South Africa? But folks, I want to say that the peace process that God the Father instigated in Bethlehem 2018 years ago, it was not a corrupt peace process. No, rather it was a perfect peace process. And for 33 and a half years, that peace process was worked out. Let me finish, folks, with a couple of references from the Christmas story. Luke chapter 179. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 79. This is the Benedictus, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Or you know how we could say that last phrase, to guide our feet into the way of Shiloh. Shiloh. That's why Christ came, to guide us into the way of peace, the pathway of peace. Luke 2:14, we will read it on Sunday night, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, Shiloh. Well, no, it says peace, but it means Shiloh. It's referring to the Shiloh of Genesis 49, verse 10. It's referring to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. One more reference, verse 29. Listen to Simeon's song now, Luke 2:29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Dying peace. That's the inheritance that the Lord Jesus has bought for us by his blood. Dying peace. The hymn writer said, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. And I think when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom will be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.